The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora te whanau, this is Pania at Fresh FM, and today in the studio we have Suzanne from Nelson Film Society. Welcome, Suzanne.
Oh, good morning, Pania.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm really good, thanks.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
It is. It's a little bit chilly here in the studio, but there's sunshine outside, which I just absolutely love.
Yes.
So, what have you got for us today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about pigs and battleships, or it's also translated as hogs and warships. Just a bit of a difference. And also it's called Buta to Gunkan in Japanese.
So it's a Japanese film.
It's a Japanese film, and it's screening this Tuesday, the 30th of May at 6 p.m. at the Suter. It was made in Japan in 1962. The director is Shohei Imamura, and I want to talk a bit about him later on because he's a very important director in the Japanese New Wave that happened in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
The film is 91 minutes long, and it's in black and white, and it's rated M. Now, this film is a Japanese satirical comedy. The film depicts black market trading between U.S. military and the local underworld. It has been described as refreshingly impolite by the critic of the New York Times. It is a black social commentary on how post-war Japanese society became corrupted by outside influences. Huh. It is in the style of an irreverent, melodramatic comedy.
I love the sound of that.
Okay, great. So here's the story in a nutshell.
Okay.
The action takes place in the port town of Yokosuka, which is just outside a giant U.S. naval base. The time is 1960. The Allied occupation of Japan is in its 16th year. So the war has been over for 16 years, but the Allies are still present in Japan. They were. The Allied occupation is in this near this port town, and the port town is teeming with life. American soldiers fill the landscape while local businessmen, prostitutes, and thugs take advantage of this situation. Of many ways to make money, they need to feed the U.S. soldiers on the naval base. So they've used this idea to procure lucrative opportunities. The main characters are Kenta and his girlfriend Haruko. He is a low-ranking gang member, and she is a barmaid. She wants him to give up his criminal ways and seek a more worthwhile occupation. Because life was tough, you know, for people of kind of the working class Japanese at that time. But poor old Kenta is lured by the opportunity to raise black market pigs using slop from the U.S. base for food. And this is facilitated by American opportunists and Japanese authorities. So it creates a kind of complex web of like a little bit underground activity, if you like. Needless to say, the tale gets increasingly darker, and the young couple find themselves spiraling into a dark cesspool of amorality.
Goodness.
Mm. The pigs in the film serve as an allegory of the Japanese people, and in particular, the marginalized locals that were forced to partake in dishonest businesses in order to survive. The hustlers grew into big, fat, powerful hogs, while hardworking, honest men and women became devalued cogs in the machine.
Mm.
The dialogue in this film holds it all together, a great combination of American banter and Japanese slang, but it is very wordy and the subtitles, just be warned, might be a tad long. In this film, it has neither a happy or sad ending. Also, it is neither anti-American or anti-Japanese. But the director uses the storyline to illustrate his fascination with the lower aspects of human life. His characters are first and foremost survivors, individuals willing to steal, kill, and prostitute themselves in order just to get by. It is a metaphor for the post-war youth. They clawed, so the post-war youth, you know, they show how they clawed their way up from the ruins of World War II, worked really hard, the mm-hmm. Japanese people after World War II, to emerge as a global economic powerhouse. But our director asks, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Big cost. So I just wanted to, just to kind of talk next. So that's kind of the story.
Really fascinating.
I think it'll be really interesting. There's kind of a little bit of shoot up, but there's a little bit of underhanded dealing. And then, of course, you got this great scene with the pigs then running riot at some stage. So that will be quite interesting.
Are the pigs actually raised on a battleship? Or
no, they're raised in the land nearby the naval base.
Right. So I was imagining a battleship like with thousands of pigs being raised on it.
That's right. But the battleship refers to the Navy base.
Right.
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the director.
Yeah.
Because he was important in the whole history of Japanese filmmaking. And his name is Shohei Imamura. And also, I just want to say this is also our second Japanese film of the year. So our first one was from another director who was of the same era. And our director was born in 1926. So just to set the scene, he was about 40 he was born in 1926, and he was about 16 at the outbreak of World War II. So like in his formative years, 20 to 25, 27, he spent his years on the broken streets of post-war Tokyo. Black markets were dominated by hoodlums and small-time gangsters. Luckily enough to go to film school.
Mm.
And he entered the Nikkakatsu studio system. Now, we talked about that last time I talked about the Japanese films, where the emphasis on this studio system was producing as many films as possible for as little money as possible. So it really curtailed the creative energies of some of these directors. So in 1961, after making many, many films for this company, he broke free of this conveyor belt system and of movie making and made Pigs and Battleships. Mm. This was his first kind of independent feature film. Now, this defined him as a rebel and a filmmaker who wanted to think outside the square. He always wanted to show a slice of the real Japan, warts and all. So because he lived through that time, so he could very well be placed to describe it and talk about it and give us a feeling of what it was like.
And I'm sure the audiences would have appreciated being shown something that actually reflected their own experience as well.
Yes, I'm sure. But I would guess that like with any avant-garde or something that's a little bit different, it had probably mixed reaction. I don't know.
Mm.
But anyway, it's proved that he was an excellent filmmaker. And so his filmmaking techniques included excellent camera work and lighting and subtle music scores, which all added perfectly to the atmosphere of his movies and makes his films interesting from start to finish. So Imamura always makes a point to have a frank and honest portrayal of Japan's undesirable people in his films. So by remaining honest to himself as well as to his art, he has always portrayed what he has witnessed with his own eyes.
Mm.
So he died in 2006, and he was the only Japanese director to win 2 Palme d'Or awards from Cannes. And he was a key figure, as I said before, in the Japanese New Wave filmmaking style.
Wow, an impressive guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for that. I'm really actually so interested in Japanese films and novels, actually. I've read quite a few Japanese novels recently because my sister lives in Japan.
Ah.
Yeah, and I always find that art is such a great way into a culture. It
yes.
shows you how people think, and even books in translation or films that have subtitles teach you so much about a culture and the way that the world is interpreted through their cultural lens.
Yes. And also, of course, we're going to be seeing on screen the Japan of the 1960s.
That's just amazing. And that's a Japan that no doubt has disappeared in the most part.
Probably.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Mm. Oh, thank you so much for talking to us about that today.
Oh, you're welcome.
So if people would like to watch
Pigs and Battleships.
Pigs and Battleships. It's at the Suter Gallery on Tuesday the
30th of May.
Excellent.
Okay.
And so they can go to the New Zealand Film Society website for more information about films and how to get involved with the Nelson Film Society.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. Well, you become a member and then you can see all the films for a very reasonable cost.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today, Suzanne.
Thank you, Panya.
You're listening to Fresh FM, and that was Suzanne from the Nelson Film Society.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.